Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
So let's crack our Bibles open tonight. Like I said, we are talking from a subject called New Season Blessing. Come on, we're going to do a blessing tonight. Service is going to look a little different. I just have a few moments with you all, and then we are going to pray. Is that okay? Come on, being a church member, part of a faith body, is not a spectator sport, amen? You don't just come to be entertained. You don't come to watch a speaker, a preacher, a communicator, a pontificator, a philosopher. You are coming tonight because you are the body of Christ. We are here to equip and sharpen each other and be a part of a faith community that knows, come on, that God can do anything through us, amen? Through the power of His Holy Spirit tonight. So just plan on maybe getting a little bit uncomfortable tonight. But that is okay. Come on, because anyone, you got any soldiers in the army of the Lord? Come on, God is raising up an army, and we got to be willing and able and ready to be a little bit uncomfortable. We got to be ready to get outside of our such and quote comfort zone, because God has not called us to be comfortable, but God is calling us to step out a bit. And I'm going to show you through Scripture tonight how, as He does that, He's going to equip us and prepare us. And I have a feeling He's going to make us a little bit excited for the assignment on hand. Is that okay? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Jesus. Lord God, and I thank You for the privilege, the opportunity, Jesus, to gather with Your people, Lord God. What an honor, Jesus, to be here with my brothers and my sisters, Lord God, ones who are in the faith, Jesus. And as we go into Your Word, Holy Spirit, You are the teacher. You be the guide. I thank You that I just get to be but a vessel, Lord God. So use me tonight as such, Jesus, to speak to the hearts of Your children, Lord God, and those who are here in the place tonight who maybe have yet to know You. But tonight, Jesus, we believe that everything can change, that we don't have to leave this place the same way that we came in. We pray these things in Your name, and everybody said amen and amen. All right, like I said, we're talking from the subject of a new season blessing, a few quick things, right? Again, and if you're a student or if you're getting ready, you know that you have checklists, you have things that you've gotten ready, that you've prepared for. Maybe you're on a new job and you got your orientation and you know your schedule and where you're to report or whatever it is you've had. Maybe you're not in a new season right now, but you've started something. You're very well aware of a process of something. So tonight, in that same vein, we're going to go through a few things of a spiritual checklist that we can prepare our hearts for as we walk through new seasons. Is that all right? Just to kind of get an idea of who's in the room. Raise your hand if you're a student. You're going to be starting school here pretty soon. Whether it's elementary, junior high, college, university. Okay. All right. Do we have any teachers in the house or support staff at school? Maybe you drive a bus. You work as a yard duty. You work in security or safety at a school. Come on. Can I get those high and proud there? All right. Get them out. Maybe you're stepping into a new season in life. Empty nester, you're sending kids off to college, you got a new job, anyone stepping into a new season? Okay, all right, so we're sprinkled in, so we're touching. Now somebody's like, hey, I wish I was stepping into a new season, or I'm feeling a little stagnant. Come on, there's something for you tonight as well. Is that okay? All right, come on, we're to talk back night, guys. The more you talk back, the quicker we get out of here. All right, that's what I thought. You are here, that's right. Okay, see, I'm trying to. All right, I understand. The clock is ticking. Don't worry, guys. But at the same time, this isn't fast food. This is the Word of God. Come on, it's good food. It's good food. If it was just me up here, I get it. But this is the Word of God. We're in the presence of the Almighty God. The Word of God can change us. Amen? It's going to shape us and mold us to be what all that God has called us to be. That's what I want. Any witnesses with me today? Turn with me in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Many of you might recognize Matthew chapter 5 from the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is talking here in your Bible. You might see some red letters, right? Red letters in your Bible, if you have such, it's just an indicator that Jesus is talking. So in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking to disciples, to followers, people who are coming to know Him. And He says this: "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden." This is interesting because Jesus Himself was prophesied that Jesus is the light, that God is the light. So here is Jesus, who is the light, telling others, His followers, you are a light on the hill. So what does that tell me? What does that tell us? What does that inform us? That means that if you are a follower of Jesus, the light that is God is on the inside of us, and that light is to shine through us. Amen? And like a city on a hill that you would see from far away. Has anyone, let's tell the truth tonight, has anyone ever been to Vegas? You know when you're coming over that hill, what do you see? You see the Luxor, you see the lights, you see from miles away, you can see that the Luxor's that, you know, I don't know how, Vegas, I get it. Never been there before, I heard that you can see this light, right, from the Triangle Pyramid Hotel that just is so bright, so light. So imagine a city on a hill that regardless of around you, no other light pollution, all of a sudden you see. So in a world of darkness, as believers, if we are the light, guess what? God's light shines through us. Anyone want to be the light? So in our first checklist, we're talking about the assignment. The assignment is that we're to go. The assignment is that we are to be light. So there's an assignment on our life that we are supposed to represent Jesus wherever we go. So you're a student, you're going back to school, you're a teacher, you're getting ready to have students, you're getting ready to be able to impact, you're going to have people on your bus, you're going to have people on your route, on a new job. You are the light. God has assigned us. How are you going to impact the world? Through my people. God, how can you be everywhere at once? Through my people. How can you impact people on all over the world? Through his people. We are his light. We are the light bearers. Right? We are ambassadors for Christ. So we carry his light with us in our classrooms. Am I going to cheat? Am I going to look to my neighbor? Or am I going to be the light? What happens if you're a teacher? Come on, tell the truth. You don't love all your students the same. You have your list. But can you be light to them? Because to some of these students, you're the only light they see. They go home to darkness. You know, even in our city, for some, it's a great thing that we're starting school because sometimes school meals were the only meal that they get. School. Imagine that. It's tough to imagine for some of you because you go home to full fridges. But there are students in our city. Maybe some of you even sitting in here, there's no shame to you, where you know at least at school you're going to be fed a meal. And in the same way that if there's nowhere else, at least in front of you, they're going to have light. Because they have, come on, we come to a beautiful church, we have a church family, people that love us, people that we serve with, people that support us. But to some, you're the only light that they see. You're the only encouragement that they're going to get. The you can do it that you share with them is the only encouragement or positive words that they might hear that day. I know this is I'm sharing this with you because I know that you can take it. Come on, students. Are you guys all good? All right, because you can be light wherever you go. Next thing, the equipping, right? So there's the assignment. Now there's the equipping. The equipping for you is that you are to stay ready. Anyone know that maybe some of our students will know this better. Don't we love our children's ministry? Come on, they know what they're doing over there in our children's ministry. The armor of God, right? The armor of God, it's in Ephesians chapter 6. Go with me in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read this. It's a few verses here. I'm going to read through it really quickly. But it's talking about the armor of God. So you are equipped. You are assigned with assignment to be light. But you are also equipped. It'd be one thing if you were just given an assignment without the proper tools to do it. Right? It'd be one thing if it's like, hey, you got to go do this. And you're like, I don't have the instructions. I know in my own house, I never use instructions, right? But come on, like, God gives us the instruction. God gives us the grace, the empowerment, the equipping to actually do what he's calling us to do. Can I get an amen from somebody tonight? So in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of a dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The reason why I highlighted this verse here is because you've made that student, that bully, those people your enemy. In a world full of racism, classism, of you dress a certain way, of that's not my style, we've made the wrong thing our enemy. And I go, you guys talk about the devil a lot because we understand who our enemy is. Too many times we call our diagnosis our enemy. Too many times we call our neighbor our enemy when our enemy is never the person in front of us. The person in front of us is always the person we're to love. The people on the other side of the track are not our enemy. The people that wear a different color than us are not our enemy. The Bible makes it very clear that yes, there are devils, there are evil schemes, there is a spiritual realm that we are to be aware of. I can talk about this from personal experience because I was raised in a home where the blood of Jesus was pled over my life. That maybe sounds funny, the blood of Jesus. But I didn't know any different. You know, I'm an 80s Pentecostal, 80s Christian. Come on, we know if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, you were really saved, right? I mean, like, we weren't allowed to do nothing. Nothing. If my parents are watching online, you know you didn't let me do nothing. Right? Like, you're just like, you were really saved, right? Because they were just pleading the blood of Jesus, and I was just like, okay, yeah, the blood of Jesus. I didn't know any different. But when I would get dropped off to school, my dad would, or whoever dropped me off, my mom or my dad would just say, I, and we just knew, belong to Jesus. And my dad would say, yes, you do. The blood of Jesus over you. Plead the blood of Jesus over you. And I was just like, okay, yeah, plead the blood of Jesus. Now I change this up a little bit. Ella, come here, baby. Come here, my love. Are you paying attention in church? Ella, she's a first grader. She's a first grader. Say hi, everybody. Okay. Ella, so my dad did, my parents did this with me, right? And I understood this was something that I wanted to institute. But I changed it up a little bit. I'm a preacher. I'm a little bit more wordy. So I had to add some things, right? So baby, I put her on the spot. Mind you, she's been away from school. So maybe this might backfire, guys. All right. Ella, when I drop you off, I say, I
belong to Jesus.
I can
do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
I am. She gets this when we're in school. We're about to start school. We're working on this. I am more
than a conqueror.
That's right. Go ahead, baby. Go ahead and have a seat. So we make these declarations, these affirmations, if you will, because and we plead the blood of Jesus because she's going to know that she belongs to Jesus. She's more than a conqueror. She could do all things. There's something that's going on that the enemy is not whoever's bothering you at school or in your way at the workplace. Now, there's a very real devil. In fact, you know, say what you will, but there's testimonies of ex-Satanists that would testify that they would try to mess with these kids or mess with people, but there was just like this weird hedge of protection about them that they couldn't happen. Come to find out, because the blood of Jesus was pled over these children. That there's power in the blood. Why? We see it in Scripture through the Passover, right? Remember, they would, through the blood of the Lamb, come on, now we have a blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ that saved us. They would mark it with the blood. And don't you know, you have been blood bought. If you're born again, the Spirit of God, you've been purchased with the price of the blood of Jesus. And that same blood, that same power covers you. So that you don't have to worry. You're not just sending off your children. You're not just sending off yourselves as you go to new places. Plead the blood of Jesus over your children. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. I'm blood bought. I'm protected. No devil in hell has a right or authority over me. Come on, we have to walk in our authority, understanding the assignment that we have, that he's equipped us in doing so. Let's just go through the rest of this armor of God so that we know, picking up in 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Remember, because of what I just said, because there's this real devil, because there's this real enemy, that we got to put on the full armor of God. So when that day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness, and with on your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Come on, somebody say the word of God. Anybody have their swords out? Come on, get your, what do we say, shields up, swords out, ladies? What do you say? Right? Get your shield of faith and your word of God in your hand. That you block those arrows and you proclaim. Come on, you have a defensive mechanism and an offensive mechanism, which is God's word. This is your promise. This is your authority that you get to walk in. You don't just have to let life happen to you. You don't just have to let people run over you. You have a word of God that can protect, or a shield of faith that will protect you, and promises from his word that will be on the offensive for you. You don't always have to fight your own battles. God will fight them for you. Amen? And verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. We have been equipped. Plead the blood of Jesus. And the last one for tonight, guys, I told you I would go quick, the sending, right? So the assignment is be light. The equipping is that you stay ready. You have the armor of God on your side. You plead the blood of Jesus over your families, over yourself, over your life. And the last one, there's the sending. You have been called, equipped, and now sent to go. You're starting a new school year. You have new teachers. You're a teacher. You work on a campus. You're going to have a new group of children. Now you go. You go. And why are we taking time to do this in a church service? Because it's important as the family of Christ. Again, whether this is it's specific to you, you're a student, you work for a school. Well, I don't do any of those things. That's not me. You are a part of a community of faith. And so we go together. Where you go, the body of Christ goes. That's why it's important to gather. You think we just say to gather because we just want people in front of us so that we talk to people? Come on, I could be sitting at home. Right? We could do other things. There's a reason why we come together, why we rub elbows and stir each other up in the most holy faith that we have. So we bear one another's burdens. Pray for your neighbors that you know there's those kids that run on your lawn. Oh, I'm so glad school's getting started, but pray for them. Pray for them too, right? They broke my sprinkler. They broke my sprinkler. Obviously, I've had a broken sprinkler before, you could tell. Come on, you know when you break a spring, all of a sudden, like, why is it green right there? We are going to go. We're going to be sent. We come together. We're taking the time to do this because it's important that we're sending you out. Students, we're sending you out. We're behind you. There's a church behind you, students. Come on, there's a church behind you, teachers and school staff. That while we might not be going in the classroom with you, we're there with you in spirit. We're there with you in our prayers. We are sending you. We are sending you as missionaries. We are sending you not into the enemy's camp. Come on. You are going with an assignment. You are going covered. Oh, the schools these days, they're doing that. We can bicker and moan and talk about schools and all this stuff, or we can understand the assignment on our life. And we can know that we are sending, not in fear. We are not sending apprehensively. We are sending in confidence of the assignment on your life. And we're going to pray for you. That's our commitment, that as students, we're covering you. As staff and employees, we're covering you. Maybe you're going off to college. For you empty nester parents who are sending your children away, like, oh my gosh, that is crazy. Right? It's emotional maybe for some of you, right? Because but you don't have to send them reluctantly. Come on, we are going to stand in faith tonight. Is that okay? And it's not just pastors praying for you. We're going to pray for each other as the body of Christ. Is that okay? John chapter 20. 20 and 21. So Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me." The Father sent his Son to earth. "I also send you." This is Jesus talking. "As the Father has sent me on assignment," Jesus is saying to us, "I've also sent you. You're also on assignment. You're being sent." And does Jesus send somebody ill-equipped? Does Jesus send people knowing that they're just going to fail? No, Jesus sends us empowered. We don't have to be, I'm going into the darkness. No, remember, you carry the light. I'm going into this evil, I have this new job, or everyone at my job, no one loves Jesus. They're always, I understand those are really real scenarios, right? It's probably tough being maybe the only Christian. Again, I have to understand, in a vacuum, like, oh, just go to your workplace, right? Everyone at my workplace supposedly loves Jesus. just kidding. No, we all love Jesus. Tell the truth, Pastor. That's right. That's good. Yeah. Maybe you're the only Christian, and maybe you did get persecuted. Maybe people are rough on you. Oh, you're pulling out your Bible. Oh, yeah, you're a Jesus thumper. Maybe you experience those things. But what would happen if we changed our perspective from if you're the underdog to recognizing that you're walking in on assignment? In the way that Jesus had been sent to earth, he's also sending us. Last passage for tonight. I've been stewing on this scripture, just keeps coming to mind. But the talking about here in Acts. Now the accent, if you have the old King James or the King James Version, it'll probably say in other translations as well, you'll see it's actually called Acts of the Apostles. Right? So it's the acts that the apostles did, the early church fathers, the early church founders, that as the church was growing, as things were happening throughout the region, as this the way of Jesus was spreading, things were happening. The acts that they did were taking place. So we see this model here in Acts chapter 13 where the church leaders had come together. There was prophets, there was apostles in the church of Antioch. And in verse 13 it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, which we know is Paul, for the work which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. What's happening? You know, as your church, as pastors, as leaders, we pray over our services. We fast over hearing so that we can hear the Holy Spirit and lead in the best way that he's called possible for our church, for our local church congregation, for our community of faith. And so what was happening here in the Acts of the Apostles is they got together, they prayed, they heard from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them, send Barnabas and Saul off to do the work that I've called you. Can I tell you tonight, where you go, where you're going, students, you're going back to school, teachers, employees, your new job, your new season, we are sending you as the church, as the body tonight, to go and do what God has called you to do, to go and be the light that God has called you to be, to encourage somebody, to love people, to witness to them of God's goodness, of his love, of his grace and mercy. So we want to ascend and equip you tonight. Come on, we want to lay hands on you after having prayed. After, again, we've fasted as your pastors. We've fasted as your leaders. We've prayed, we believe, and we know that God has equipped and called you. Jesus himself said it, that you are on assignment. And we want you to go in peace, and we want you to go equipped to take ground wherever your foot steps. Amen? Is that all right with anybody tonight? Come on, amen, amen. So this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Actually, we have some of our leaders and teams that are going to come up, and we're going to pray over some specific things. Right? So can we all stand up? I think, Turbo, you're going to be up first. This is Arturo Montejano, also known as Teacher Turbo. Come on, any kids, don't we love Teacher Turbo? Come on, don't we love Teacher Turbo? So, Turbo, you're going to pray over our elementary age students, right? And we're just going to pray and believe. Come on, any elementary age students, raise your hand. Come on, student. You're in Studio 56. Studio, race, Route 56, Raceway. Is it called still Raceway? Seaside. I'm an unk, guys. I'm an unk. I've been... The elementary age. If you're a kindergarten, first grade, like, get your hands up. All right, can we extend our hand to a student around us? Can we extend our hand? We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to bless them. We're going to send them. We're going to pray that they are, I'm sorry, you go, Turbo. You pray, bro. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, if you see a kid around you, please just extend your hands out to them. Or if you have one next to you, you can lay your hands on them with parents' permission, obviously. But let's lift them up. Father God, we just want to come in agreement right now, Father God. Lifting up your children as they're starting up this school season, Father God. We know as the time gets nearer, that sometimes kids can be filled with discouragement, God, or fear or anxiety. So I just want to speak against that right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, that all of any or anything that they might be feeling that does not need to be there, Father God, you would just cast it out of their bodies, Father God. Fill them with peace, fill them with joy and excitement to go back onto their campuses, to go back into their classrooms, Father God. We ask that if there's any fear on them learning the new material in this new grade, Father God, I just ask that you would fill them with your wisdom, Father God. Your word says that if we need wisdom, to ask it of you, Father God. So we're asking right now, just fill them with your wisdom, God, to learn this new material. Fill them with your wisdom to overcome problems or hardships that they might face with their friends or just the people in their classrooms, Father God. We also ask for wisdom for the parents, God. That you would give them your guidance as to how to lead their kids as the spiritual heads of their households, Father God, to teach them on how to overcome adversity, teach them how to overcome the problems that they might face in their schools, Father God. And most importantly, Jesus, we just want to ask for boldness. For boldness this upcoming year, that you would equip them to stand for their faith, Father God, in the face of adversity, to stand for their faith, even when nobody else is doing it around them, Father God. We ask that you would activate them as full-time ministers of your word, Jesus, that they would be able to testify of who you are, not just through their words, Father God, but through the way that they live, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. We pray for a prosperous and a blessed school year coming up, Father God, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Teacher Turbo. Next, we have Terrence, or one of our youth leaders. Come on, students, where are you at? High school, middle school, university students, raise your hand. If it's a teen, shake them extra hand. Come on, let's make sure we get a hand on them. Teacher, I was going to call you Teacher Terrence. My brother Terrence.
Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, first and foremost, we give you praise, Lord, for even letting us pray for the ability to go back to school, Lord. We don't take it for granted that we make it through summers, Lord. We don't take it lightly that we just get to go to the next grade, Lord. We recognize that the fact that we're still here, Lord, and the fact that we're still breathing, Lord, and the fact that we're still healthy and able to extend our hands to you means that you've been faithful to us, Lord, all summer long. And we give you praise first and foremost to that, Lord. And I thank you for every student that's going back to school, Lord. I thank you that they are going back to be a light, Lord. They're going back to be a witness of your goodness, Lord. I thank you that for every young lady that's going back who's dealing with the pressure of trying to fit in and the pressure of wanting to be seen and the pressure of popularity or whatever it is that's going on, Lord, I thank you that you're relieving them of that right now, Lord, and that they would go for only one purpose, and that's to let everybody know that you're a good and faithful God, Lord, and on the way we'll get good grades, Lord, and I thank you for favor when it comes to teachers, Lord, and assignments, Lord, and open their eyes to understand what the homework is talking about. Open their eyes to study, Lord, and to be focused and to recognize that their whole future is ahead of them, Lord. I rebuke any school shooting, Lord. I rebuke predatory teachers, Lord. I rebuke everything that the devil would try to send at our kids, Lord. We don't have to stand for it, Father God. You've given us permission to bind things in heaven and loose things on earth. So we lose peace over all our schools, Lord. We lose peace over all our students, Lord. We lose peace in the classrooms, Lord. We rebuke the spirit of bullying right now, Lord. We rebuke anything that would cause any mental health issues. We say no to suicide, Lord. We say no to sexual immorality, Lord. We say no to vape pens. We say no to weed, Lord. We say no to everything that the devil is trying to send at our kids right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that they will be the ones that are leading it, Lord, that they wouldn't look to their friends to fit in, Lord. They wouldn't look to their friends to be doing what they're doing, but they would be okay with being the 1%, Lord, of being the only one in there that's standing for the gospel, Lord. And we thank you for the boldness that's coming over them right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Hey, I want to pray for all of you who are going to work in the school, whether you are a teacher, an administrator, a support staff, security guard, anything to do with our education. Would you just raise your hand, put your hand in the air so I know who I'm praying for tonight. Put your hand in the air, put your hand in the air, keep it in the air. Those of you around them, you can get a hand on them, you can extend your hand toward them. We're gonna stand in faith because Jesus said that he sent his disciples out, right, as sheep among wolves. He sends you out into difficult places that can have beliefs that are ungodly, but he's called you there to be a light. And we're believing with you that you're gonna let your light so shine before men that the people around you will literally glorify God because you're in their midst. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everyone in this room who has dedicated their life, Lord God, accepted a position where they get to be part of our education system. Our teachers, our administrators, our support staff, Lord God, those at the district office, Father, those behind keyboards or underneath a bus fixing it, Father, every aspect of them, Father, right now, as they go into the new season, Father, they've been working through the summer, but the kids are coming now. Things are turning up, Lord God. I pray that they would also turn on to you, God, that they would also see you as their life source, God, that they would see themselves as a light in that place, no matter what it is. Maybe it's a great work environment or a dark work environment, but they would see themselves as the light of God, as the goodness of God, that as they walk around the campus, they wouldn't take on the atmosphere of the campus, but they would bring your atmosphere. They would bring your goodness. They would bring your good glory. They would bring your hope. They would bring your joy. They would bring your peace. They would bring your confidence. Because you've equipped your people, Lord God, to represent you well in the world, Lord God, so that others would say, why are you smiling? Why are you happy? What is your joy? What is your external source of peace? Even though everybody else might be complaining, you're celebrating and grateful, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that the anointing of God to be there, the gift of God to be there, the presence of God that is in them would leak out all over that place, God, at the water cooler, in the classroom, in the offices, in the hallway, Lord God, that they would shine and that their students and teachers and co-workers would glorify God because they're working in that place and they're bringing your goodness with them, your hope with them every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.
You guys can take a seat. Thank you for praying. Actually, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. Look at that exercise. One more thing we're going to pray for. Sorry about that. I didn't come to exercise. Hey, it's okay. We need our exercise. I just want to say, I feel like the Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart. You know, maybe you're in this place and you're a parent, you're a guardian, you're someone's adult, and you're struggling with actually almost what would feel like paralyzing fear, sending them off. Like there's just anxiety that's just coming up. The thought, the idea of buying back to school clothes, of sending them is paralyzing you. The Holy Spirit is saying, trust me. Trust me that I will take care of them. That you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. The other thing I feel like the Holy Spirit said, maybe you're a parent and you decided to homeschool this year. You decided to switch from homeschool to public school or from private school to public school. Did I say that right? Or maybe you made a decision, a shift, and you've struggled and wrestled with it was the right thing. And I just feel like if you did it in faith and you're doing what you feel like the Lord told you to do, then rest in peace in that decision. Amen. Regardless of where we're like, oh, it's safest here. Everything we do is in faith. It's all in faith. Let's put it before the Lord and you will find peace and rest and sleep and comfort in that. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay, don't sit yet. One last thing we want to pray for, that we've been talking about tonight. Our last group of people, maybe you're in a transition. You're in a new season. You're in a new change. Again, maybe empty nesters or a new job, or you're going to move, or you just moved here, whatever it might be. You just sense that there's a transition or a shift, a new season coming, and you need faith for that. If you wouldn't mind getting your hand up. And in the same way, come on, let's get around somebody. These people who are in a new season, life looks a little bit different. There's a big decision coming up. They've just made a big decision. We want to pray over our brothers and sisters. Come on, in faith. Come on. Don't just listen to me pray. You guys pray. Here we go. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our brothers and sisters that are stepping out in faith, Lord God, who are finding themselves in a new season, Lord God, whether wanted or unwanted, Lord God. Let them know that you are with them, that you will comfort them, that your rod is with them, Lord God. Your peace is with them. And they, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, Lord God. That no evil would come to them, Jesus. That no anxiety, no fear, no depression, Lord God, would come upon them, Jesus. But that they would walk in confidence that you have placed them, Lord God. That where you have called them, that there is purpose on their life, Jesus. That you would, again, bring favor upon them. They would find favor with God and with man. Jesus, with new supervisors, with new work situations, with new apartments or homes, Lord God, that their application would go right to the top, right to the front, Lord God, that you are opening the right doors and closing the right doors, Jesus. Bring comfort to them, Lord God. Bring them a word, Lord God, from a stranger or someone here at church, Lord God, that they would know that they are stepping into the right thing, Lord God, that they would beware of the things that they're not supposed to do, Jesus. We thank you that you go before them, that you set that hedge of protection about them. In Jesus' mighty name, when we all said, amen, amen, amen. Now you can go ahead and take a seat. Come on, it is so good to be able to pray with a church family. Amen. Anyone stirred up in faith? I know our students, you might not be excited to go back, but you're going back nevertheless, and you're going back with a blessing. Amen. You are blessed. You are blessed. Hey, before we leave here, look, I told you we'd be quick tonight. I know you got to get back to your routines and things that you have to do, but we want to send you off, not just blessed, but want to make sure that you're okay. It'd be nice that you came. I'm glad that you came to church, but it would be a shame to come, maybe receive a prayer, but not really have an opportunity to fully understand who the Lord is. Even the statement, the Lord, could rain or sound funny to some people. Because if you think about what was said tonight and prayed, there was some assumption. That assumption was that you know who Jesus is, that you're a Christian, that you follow Jesus. But you know that that's not true for everybody. Not everyone who comes to church actually knows Jesus. Not everyone who sits in a chair in a church building is actually a Christian, a follower of Jesus, someone who has made him your Lord and your Savior. So tonight I want to put before you a question. And that question, that if you were, your life were to end tonight, where are you going to spend your eternity? And I'm aware that we have all kinds of age range in here tonight, but I want to be honest with you and tell you lovingly that depending on how your answer is will dictate how you'll spend your eternity. See, because you are not saved, you are not born again, you are not headed for heaven just because you're sitting in church tonight. The fact that you were raised in a Christian home or were raised going to church, like I said, we were from the 80s or 90s, that's not the way in, being raised in the right decades. In fact, a lot of my friends and people that I grew up with don't serve the Lord. But what makes you a believer, what makes you born again, it's not the house that you were raised in, the rituals that you follow, whether or not you went to Sunday school, attended the right things. Hey, maybe you're thinking, well, I don't do bad things. I don't hang out with the bad kids. I don't hang out with the bad crowd. I don't have the bad habits. You know, I try not to cuss. I don't drink. I don't do any of those things that we would call bad. I stay away from that. The thing about that is that kind of sounds like you'd be counting on your good works or the fact that you don't do bad works to save you. But again, nowhere in the Bible does it say that by our good deeds, our noble acts, does that make us a born-again believer headed for heaven. In fact, there's this man by the name of Nicodemus in the Bible. You'll see in John chapter 3 talking about this same exact thing. He's a religious leader. He followed all the right rules, guys. He did the right things. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what must I do to be born again? Or essentially, what do I got to do to go to heaven? And again, if we were to go by this train of thought, this way of thinking that my good works and following all the right rules, then Jesus would have said something like this: hey, keep it up, Nicodemus. You're all good. See you in heaven. But that's not at all what he says. It's kind of shocking. He confronts Nicodemus with this thought that you must be born again. What does that mean, born again? That sounds a little strange. Let me explain it to you like this. That you have to make a decision. You. Yes, at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. I gave my heart to Jesus for the first time at 5 years old. I still remember the church in Riverside. I remember raising my hand as a little kid, because I knew I wanted to make a decision. I've heard about this Jesus person. And you have to make a decision that you want to make Jesus your Lord. You could live life in the way that you're the boss of your life. Hey, for many of you, you've tried that way. You're the boss. Whatever floats your boat, whatever tickles your fancy, whatever you seem, the things that will make you happy. Hey, I'm just doing me. I'm just doing things my way, whatever makes me happy. I'm not hurting anybody as long as I don't hurt anybody, right? That's what it's all about. No, that's not what it's all about. When Jesus says you must be born again, is saying you must make Jesus your Lord. You must make Jesus your boss. He's your Savior. You're not the Savior of yourself. You can't save yourself. Again, be honest with yourself. You've tried. You must be born again. You must say, Jesus, I want to do life your way, not mine. So tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity. What I'm going to do, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three, and hit my hand just like that. When you hear that pop sound, what I want you to do is get your hand up. By getting your hand up, you're saying, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my boss. I want to do things your way. I want your protection. I want your covering. I surrender my life, my way of thinking, what I think is right, what I think is fair, and I want to follow you. You have to make the decision. I can't make the decision for you. Hey, kids, students, your parents can't make the decision for you. I wish we could. I would love to choose for my children. But there's an age they have to decide for themselves. You have to decide for yourself who you're going to follow. The crowd, the popular way, what everyone else is doing, or follow Jesus, which I guarantee you is the better way. So tonight, here we go. Get ready to get your hand up. Maybe you're nervous. Maybe you're a little bit excited. Whatever emotion you might be having right now, you know you need to follow Jesus. You're not following Jesus. He's not your Lord. You're the boss. What people tell you are the boss. What social media tells you has been the boss of your life. So let's get real tonight. Be honest with yourself. You need Jesus. Get ready to get your hand up. One. Two. Maybe you've done this before. You need to make sure. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be a little bit in, a little bit out. You need to make sure you're all the way in following Jesus. Three. Let me see your hands tonight. Raise them high. Raise them high. Raise them high. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Right here, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I see that hand over there. In the family rooms, anybody in the family rooms? Look, I didn't put them on blast. I didn't embarrass them. I didn't put them on the spot. 16 wise hands. If I didn't see you here, raise it real high. Don't be shy. Raise your hand. I see the children as well. 17. 18. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else in the place? 19. 20. 21. Again, didn't embarrass them. People that are making decisions for Jesus. I saw your hand, my brother. Thank you. Maybe there's more of you. This is what we're going to do. Right where in your seats. Come on, you guys get a good deal tonight. Right in your seats, right where it's safe and friendly. But let me tell you, let me be honest with you about this idea of safe and friendly. I'm glad in the house of God, amongst believers, we're happy. We're cheering. We're excited. Come on, aren't we grateful for 21 wise people? We're cheering. You're an answer to prayers. But I have to be honest with you. That the world, for the most part, doesn't care who you call Lord and Savior. They might tease you. They might make fun of you. They might not understand you. So while this commitment is going to be an easy sense right here in your seat, I want to prepare you and equip you through God's Word that you might confront some challenges, but don't back away. Don't be afraid. Remember the decision that you're making tonight. Remember the excitement. Remember what prompted in your heart. Remember the Holy Spirit that drew you in. It's not emotionalism. It's not because there's keyboards. No one twisted your hand. The Holy Spirit drew you in through His love, through His kindness, is saying, come home, my child. That's what's happening. Remember that when anything else tries to tell you different. Amen? Amen. Come on, one more time for Jesus and for all those wise people that are saying yes to Jesus tonight. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Right in your seats, we're going to pray. And we're going to say a prayer. It's not a magic prayer. It's going to be a short word, a short prayer. I want you to repeat the words after me. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, that's what we have to do to be saved. We're going to make a confession with our words. But only you can control whether or not you believe it. I can't believe for you. You have to believe that what you're saying is true. Or maybe you're like, I'm saying this. That's okay. God make me believe it. Stir up faith on the inside of me to believe it. Is that okay? So repeat this words after me. Everybody in the place, say, Dear Jesus. Come on. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner that needs a Savior. Jesus, be my Savior tonight. Be my Lord. Wash away all my sins. Forgive me of my past. Make me clean. Make me new. By your word, I'm a new creation. The old ways have gone. All things are made new. I surrender my heart and my life to you. From this day forward, you are the Lord. You are boss. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Equip me, strengthen me to do all that you've called me to do. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer tonight, come on, we have some of our friends. We want to come alongside you. Again, parents or someone who you're, if you're with children, they raise their hands tonight. Come on, that's real. That's not pretend. Come on, the same Holy Spirit that fills you is filling them. So let's make sure that we get them with friends that are going to be there. As you exit tonight, make sure you see some of our friends that will be there. They're going to get you this. This is Pastor Joel. He has his book, some information that we want to give you to prepare you. This is what we want to do now. Everybody stand up now. We got here out a little bit early. But what we want to do is we want to praise and we want to worship as a family. I know earlier we said this, but no one came forward. Come on, youth, some of our students, come on, let's fill this altar. We're going to, not just that, everybody, we can come to the altar. We're going to dismiss as we praise tonight. Is that okay? We're going to do one last song of praise, of celebration. And I want you to all go out in peace. In a moment, we'll pray out.
Amen, amen. Hey, we invite you forward today to worship alongside us. Come on, is God worthy of all of our praise tonight?
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let everything
that has breath
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise in the valley. I'll praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered. Praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the waters my enemies drown in.
Come on, sing it out.
As long as I'm breathing, I got Praise the Lord. loud as you can all together now. Sing our praise cause you're sovereign. Our praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. Our praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. See ya! Our praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you're faithful.
That they would be blessed in their coming, blessed in their going, Jesus, that everything they put their hands to, Lord, that it would prosper in your name. Jesus, with a great big shout of faith, we declare about the Inland Empire, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.